tonight.
Ow. That really hurt.
July 15th, 2013. And you're listening to episode 41 of Free to Play, NitroBeard.com's super premier gaming podcast. I am Brian Belita. He's Imran Khan.
Hyper Imran Khan.
He's Mark Bradshaw.
Why did you have to yell? Why do we have to do the yelling already? Can't we just be calm and supportive?
And Mark, you can't old man jokes.
You're yelling. Like... You're also yelling. Is this like a new mic thing?
Are you hungover or what?
I think this is just loud. Hang on a second.
And that car over there is Matt Pierce.
Hello. I mean, vroom. Vroom, I guess.
Wait, so is he like, oh God, what was that? Johnny Turbo? Was that his name?
There was a Johnny Turbo, yes.
Oh my God.
The Turbo Teen.
No, that was just Turbo Teen.
I can't believe you just made that reference. That's as obscure as I guess. I think it might have been Johnny Turbo.
I think it was. But then there's also that horrific animated GIF.
No.
Johnny Turbo was the guy from the TurboGrafx-16.
Yes. And by the guy you mean the best guy possible from the TurboGrafx-16 comics. Because he is the epitome of man. Just a big, fat neckbeard who's way into TurboGrafx-16.
And very angry that Sega CD said it was the first CD when it clearly wasn't the first CD.
He's going to clear up that misconception and also live with his weird effeminate.
Would anyone sue you if you made a modern webcomic about Johnny Turbo?
No one involved still is in business, so no.
Does NEC still exist as a company?
I'm pretty sure they don't, and I'm pretty sure the comic company doesn't exist, and the artist is probably dead.
This is a fucking gold mine. Why don't we do this?
What is it with the name? Sorry, I'm just Johnny. We got Johnny Turbo. We got Johnny Quest. We got Johnny Bazooka. No, wait. That's Bazooka Joe. Is there a Johnny Bazooka? No. Yeah,
probably there's Joe, but you're thinking Bazooka Joe.
I'm thinking of Bazooka Joe. The gun he back. Might as well be Johnny.
Yeah.
It's cadence that it flows easily from one word to the next.
Johnny anything is a good name. Like my City of Heroes character was Johnny Violence.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Johnny be good. Yeah, man, Johnny Turbo. Look at that mustache.
Look at the mustache. Look at the beard. Look at the everything.
I'm reading.
Am I the only one that notices he looks a lot like Mario?
No, yeah. I've noticed that too. It's very weird.
I'm looking at a frame from the, I don't know if the comic or something is, and Johnny Turbo is surrounded on some sort of ethereal energy or electricity, and he's wearing green army issue coveralls with a yellow bandolier and some sort of ray gun, and then a red hat turned sideways.
Yeah.
It's and like he's saying, kids, listen, don't let them mislead you. The Turbo Duo is the first CD game system on the market.
And they're giving you games
that we've already have.
Okay.
Why we released the best part is CD almost 2 years ago.
What an amazingly neck-bearded point that is. Because, yes, technically the Turbo Duo was the first home console with a built-in CD player to market in Japan, which is exactly what you'd get on NeoGAF.
Yeah.
You get some guys like, well, in Japan it's different. It's like, no one cares.
The kind of thing like Mark Witten comes out and like, no, we came up with achievements first. Fuck Sony. Well, who cares?
I think whenever I hear NeoGAF poster in my head, it is Johnny Turbo at the keyboard.
So okay, the best thing about these Google image search
is so fucking terrifying. Oh my God!
Did Matt post a video of Turbo T?
Yeah, yes. He did. Oh, this is horrific.
And you know, Johnny Turbo is the biggest libertarian, conspiracy theorist guy you've ever met in your entire life.
Who, Turbo Teen?
No, Johnny Turbo. Also, possibly Turbo Teen.
Okay, so just for the record, I'm going to splice in, Turbo Teen, this video you just posted, please, put the audio in there.
Matthew, it was a stormy night when a bolt of lightning forced me off the road. My car skidded into a government laboratory where a top-secret experiment was underway. I swerved into the path of Dr. Chase's molecular transfer ray, causing me and my car to become one. The incredible Turbo Team!
I love the fact that Is this all caused by him being a dangerous, awful driver, and he gets turned into a car?
Oh, and his
so
face
is he just gonna like crash himself into
his
trees?
His smile just stretches open into the grill of the car.
Also,
that's so painful.
Also, try not to think of like the back end of that car is his ass.
It's his butt. Yeah, his butt becomes the blinkers. Yeah.
So like, if you're Johnny, whatever's like girlfriend, and you're hopping in, do you think she knows when she like hops into the car? Like,
you're talking about Turbo Team. What's Turbo Team? What's his name though? Is it Johnny?
That's probably the same guy. Maybe it's the same dude.
Well, what's funny is that in one of the frames of the video, you see some guy that looks like Johnny Turbo, like skydiving into the frame. Let's see. I love the Wikipedia description of Turbo Teen is, it was an animated series about a teenager with the ability to literally transform into a sports car.
Not figuratively. He didn't just dress up as a sports car and go vroom vroom.
That's different. That's
Turbo Teen's name is Brett Matthews. I don't know why that's...
That's a surprisingly, like, you know, subdued name.
Yeah.
It's also the most 70s name you can get. Brett Matthews.
He does turn I think, a Trans Am.
Two-door Trans Am. Yeah, that's totally a Trans Am. It's like a weird combination of Trans Am and Corvette.
You think his girlfriend complains that he doesn't have enough leg room?
Oh, nice.
Why don't you have more leg room?
Is his girlfriend aware of this? Up?
I think so.
Like, it'd be creepy if she wasn't, but it's kind of creepy that she's riding inside of him if she is.
I remember
like the old stick shift trick.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a lot of really weird stuff with that show where, like, people know that he turns into a car and they just get in the passenger seat because they're not going to drive him because he's driving. But then that means he's just driving around with no driver in the car.
The Turbo Teen is due for a comeback.
All right, so Johnny Turbo, Turbo Teen webcomic?
Yes.
Let's make it.
Here's
my question. Okay, now does Johnny Turbo turn into Turbo Teen, or is Johnny Turbo drive Turbo Teen?
Maybe
he's Turbo Teen's best friend and confidant.
Well, I was going to say we could just combine it and just do Johnny Turbo Teen.
Aw, shit.
So we get, like, the car would have a neck beard and a mustache somehow. Like, what would a car neck beard be?
Truck nuts. It would have truck nuts.
Oh, man. Truck nuts are the
and
best.
It would smell so bad inside this car, like you would not believe. It's like a neck beard you couldn't get away from.
So what kind of modern day things would Johnny Turbo Team get mad at? Like, what kind of things would he try to correct people on?
The same shit. He's just super into like 16-bit trivia.
So if we're talking about neck bearded complaints, are we just going to move on to the Microsoft thing? Because that seems like a pretty good segue.
Yeah. Actually, kids, did you know that the first female head of console divisions was... I got nothing.
Probably somebody else entirely. There's probably like some lady like running Magnavox back in like the early 80s. We don't know.
The closest I could think of is whatever her name was, who was like the head. She took over as head of marketing at Nintendo after Reggie got promoted to CEO.
Cammy Dunaway.
Yeah. And then, the internet.
She was also Tom and Brenda Hall, right? They're the... Yeah, they like Commander Keen. They did a couple Kickstarters lately. I don't think she was like the head of anything, but she made games.
I guess like the lady who did the adventure games. I can't remember the name of it. The King's Quest stuff. Like she ran that company, right?
Roberta Williams.
Yeah, Roberta Williams. She ran that company, right?
I'm not sure. I don't think she. Well, those were.
Is her
under Sierra, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think she ran the publishing firm, but I think. Like she and her husband ran their own development studio.
Yes, maybe.
So basically, there's Roberta Williams and now this new lady.
And Don Matrick is gone.
Yeah, Don Matrick is gone, and in his place is
I don't know.
I don't know her. I wouldn't expect you guys.
I literally looked it up a couple of minutes ago, and I forgot it. Julie Larson Green,
a woman we should mention.
Yes, by all the she's and female pronouns they've been using.
And we'll give you one guess what the internet at large's reaction was to this.
Okay, so it needs more than one guess, because my first assumption was going to be creepy. But instead it was just sexist.
Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a progression from blind rage to kind of sexist comments to, is she hot?
Right. Now, how does this work with Jade Raymond? Were people like more creepy at Jade Raymond or just sexist?
Well,
Jade
Ubisoft Raymond? Played that up. So
right, like they had that. There's that infamous photo of like every developer else in the studio just like forming this half circle in the background, and then she's just kind of standing with the arms crossed in the middle.
It's important to note that everyone is standing like foot to foot, like foot to heel with her or with each other.
Yeah.
But they're all standing like 2 or 3 feet back from her.
Yeah. Was she like the lead game designer?
She was executive producer.
Oh, that should set her apart a little. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
That's a pretty damn it high is. Title.
But they made it sound like she was making actual decisions in the game, which I don't think she was.
Excuse don't know. I'm to be honest, I'm not sure what an executive producer does in video games. I know what they do in movies, but I don't know what they do in games.
In the Western press or Western game development, I don't think they. I think they secure money and act as a liaison between the studio and the publisher. But I don't think they actually make creative decisions. Or if they do, it's like, this truck should be more red.
I feel kind of bad for the sad-looking Asian woman on the left. Yeah,
I was about to say, like, looking at this picture of, like, the entire Ubisoft team, there's just one Asian lady who just looking straight at the camera, looking at you, said, this is complete bullshit.
You know they put her there, like, on purpose, though, right? Like, stay next to Jade so we can have a comparison.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay, then there's also,
what,
like
a height comparison?
I think there's a UPS guy in this photo on the right.
Yeah, and I think, like, the dude in the tracksuit, like, on the far right, I'm pretty sure he's an Evo guy. Like, I think he's a fighting game guy. I don't think he actually works there. I think
the dude behind the guy in the brown shirt on the right is Dennis DeYoc.
Yeah, that's probably Dennis DeYoc. He's there to pick up a check. You can't
look at him. He looks exactly like him.
And I know this makes for great radio, but okay, yes. Look at Jade Raymond. Okay, and 11 o'clock to Jade Raymond. There is the weirdest looking human being. He's got like a perm on like two sides of his head. Are you looking at this guy? Because
the soul patch and the mustache.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even like a soul patch. It's like a Brazilian strip down his chin.
Oh, man. And yeah. I think Peter Molyneux was behind Dennis DeYoc in this picture.
The weirdest.
I think so.
Temporal rift. Because if you look behind her, look at this one guy, and like there's this white hat. He's just staring off to the side. I think he came in from a different picture.
No, he's talking to the guy in the orange shirt.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't even have the decency. Like they're like, we're gonna take a staff photo, but we're not gonna count down or tell you when or anything.
If you look in the very, very back, just like above and left of the pillar from the perm guy, there's a guy in an orange hat and a shirt who's just facing the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's like the Pizza Hut delivery.
It probably is.
So you know what this reminds me of? One time when I was working on a magazine, we had a photo shoot with Paula Deen. And I had to sit there while they took all the photos and all that. And her agent had, like, she didn't talk to anybody. She didn't say one goddamn word the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But the agent's like, no, you had to take a picture exactly like this. She has to be staring dead on. You're going to use these lights on these things. And, like, it's the weirdest fucking thing, but that's what this picture completely reminds me of.
And we do that, why don't you just give them a press photo?
Yeah.
And
just
you, and when
save
you,
us the trouble.
And you wonder why every single Paula Deen picture makes her look fucking insane. Now, Imran,
it's because
like,
they're all exactly the same. Like, you could do the CAD face rotation thing on that.
Now, does she look normal in person? Like, does she look fucking crazy? Like, in real life?
I mean, living in the South, I don't have a good barometer for
that. There are many Paula Deens
like a pretty
in
normal
Georgia.
Person in video.
Yeah.
But in those photos, she has this lighting that flattens out her face so that she can't see any wrinkles or folds.
She looks like a student's Maya project, basically.
So too much finishing butter on her face.
Oh, man. Well, so before we segue to Dennis DeYoc, let's talk more about Julie Andrews. Did you say no?
Julie Andrews was the sound of music. Yeah, lady.
Right, I knew that.
I lost the actual
lost
name
again.
Because I looked up Johnny Turbo.
We're just down as Johnny Turbo.
Julie Turbo.
Yeah.
So she used to be, right before being the head of the Xbox division, was the head of the Windows division, which might not be a good thing.
Yeah, that's not an encouraging sign, because Windows has kind of sucked shit for a while.
Well, I don't know. Like, there's like the one guy who pushed Windows 8, and she's not him. So that's really the only guy you got to worry about, right?
Well, yeah, but she's the head of the division, so I assume she bears some like responsibility or
influence. I'm gonna flip this out there though. Windows 8 and Windows 7 have been pretty damn good, pretty good products. My problem is, though, that I don't know how any of that's going to translate to making a game console.
Windows 8 frustrates me not because of Windows 8, but because of Windows 8 on everything else. Yeah, because it really shouldn't be on... Like, there's no reason Forza has to look like Metro.
Yeah.
There's no reason, like... it's a tablet interface that's on everything.
Sorry, it's Julie Larson Green.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about it because I don't have a problem with it. I mean, Microsoft made the decision.
This also comes down to that sort of thing where we don't know what the head of Xbox necessarily does day to day.
Right.
So
it's just interesting that, you know, we were like, well, not we, but like a lot of people were projecting like who the next guy would be. Would be Peter Moore or somebody like we heard of before. It's like, no, some lady from the Windows division, because, you know, Microsoft is hugely, I guess, incestuous. And it's going to.
Well, and they're I guess at least an excuse people are saying for them nothing is that they claim she's not a gamer. And I don't know how they know.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
I don't know how they.
Yeah, I don't know how you could possibly know that.
Right.
Maybe, for all you know, she was the push behind Games for Windows Live.
Oh, she is.
Oh, then definitely fire her.
Yeah. Well, it didn't do well, but the idea to try to make Windows more like Xbox is probably a good one. But
they went to crazy extents with it. Like, Games for Windows Live was a pay service at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was beyond stupid.
Yeah, and I see some people, like, making, you know, heads of other, you know, other divisions, like Jack Tretton. Cerny, she did. They're all gamers, but she's not. And I don't know. Should she have to be?
Well, to head the Xbox division, you should at least play your product.
Well, you need a working knowledge of what you're making, I think.
Well,
but I don't think there's a good way to say that she definitely is not a customer. Also,
okay. What about like the past like 2 months of like Xbox news? Could cause anyone to think that Microsoft really wants a gamer involved with both Xbox.
Yeah, Microsoft is playing the Xbox.
We're saying that, but Matrick was kind of he was a game developer, and he worked his way up to that position.
Right. He just hated humanity. Yeah.
Yes. And, I mean, as we've discovered in the last 2 months, game developers are kind of... A lot of them really like these DRM strategies because, I mean, maybe if it were me, I wouldn't like people... using my writing for things that I didn't intend them to do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how it works for them.
Well, I think the problem that most people are saying that are the kind of people that would, you know, post on, you know, gaming news sites is that, you know, that she's not, I think they want her to be a quote unquote hardcore gamer. And she absolutely does not that have to. I mean, like Matt said, and that's not their really target. They just want gamers, which is like a lot of people. It's everybody.
I don't think anybody, unless she's given an interview recently, I don't think anybody knows that she's not.
No, and exactly.
It's kind of silly to assume that she's not.
Exactly.
I don't think it matters unless she explicitly does things that are like crazy anti-gamer. Right. Like Richitello was a gamer and that guy was a fucker.
The problem is though that, the game developers who they've promoted up to the head of the Xbox division do crazy things. I mean, if what she takes from Windows to Xbox is a focus more on the platform instead of protecting content and DRM, that might actually be a blessing.
Man, are people really still typing $M$? That's short for Microsoft. I just saw Connor 4 days ago. I just like, are people still doing that? Is that a thing? I thought that died with LOL $599. I thought that was pretty funny. Come to looking back on it.
I think it died when everybody realized like Google like was like way like, I don't know, more powerful. Like,
yeah.
Like Microsoft kind of fell off the map, like just in pure evilness. So that should kind of sound pathetic now.
I mean, so yeah, I don't know. I
mean, there is that concern that there was a story last week that Microsoft handed over a fuck ton of unrequested data to the NSA.
Yeah, there was that.
So, I mean, I don't know how you can, like, I'm not going to say how can you buy an Xbox One, but how can you buy an Xbox One and not have privacy concerns? Like, at what point does the camera staring at you not become kind of weird?
This podcast recorded with Skype.
That's true. Hi. We are part of the problem.
Although we might, heads up, we might try a different piece of software.
Also, in our defense, like, we were using, like, Skype before Microsoft bought out Skype, so. then again, I don't know if like we would have.
Yeah, we were with Skype before it was cool to be with Skype.
No, we weren't.
No, we weren't.
Okay. Well, after it was cool to be with Skype.
After it. Was it ever cool? That was cool.
Everybody uses Skype. It's just kind of the standard.
Yeah. It still boggles me that there's no built-in recording, which this new software that we're going to give a shot does, which is really nice. Also, Imran got a new mic. Hopefully you can hear the dulcet sounds of his southern voice.
You just completely lost the plot there, didn't you?
Plot of what? Was there a plot? Oh, God. yeah. So that's it. We'll see what happens. Yeah, if she gives some interview and is like, oh, you push the circle button on the Xbox 360 controller.
And Microsoft Docs comes up and say, why did that happen?
Right.
That could actually happen on the Xbox
One. Oh, man, if she brings Clippy to the Xbox One, I'll be happy.
They should call him Clippy B.
Clippy B?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
man. I approve.
I would pay good money for a shooter with Clippy B who tells you how to shoot guns.
That'd be the best. It would just
looks like you're trying to make headshots.
It would completely embrace the modern game thing of just having tutorials, just ridiculous amounts of tutorials.
It looks like you're trying to buy a used game. Let me shut you down.
They should turn on voice recognition and have Clippy B be the racism monitor. It's like, it looks like you're trying to use the N-word. Disconnected.
So, like, for multiplayer games, he would be the multiplayer monitor, an admin mod.
I was just asking him to stop nagging so much.
God. So we got Clippy B, we got Johnny Turboteen. We need to act on these things.
No, what they can do is, like, put Clippy B in the next Killer Instinct. Just make it, like, the whole, like, Smash Brothers thing.
Do you really want to talk about
the Microsoft thing? What's that?
Yeah. No, I said you want to talk about Killer Instinct, don't you, Mark?
Totally hated Killer Instinct. No one liked Killer Instinct.
Yeah, like, we've talked about that before.
In 1994, it was that thing that was like, oh, hey, this is a totally mature fighting game for me, this mature 12-year-old that is totally into mature games.
Right, next to,
Primal Rage.
Was Primal Rage the one where like you could be a monkey and pee on someone?
Yes.
And that could kill someone with your urine. Right, highly acidic urine. Yes. Yeah. But Killer Instinct was totally more mature because you could just show someone your tits and that would kill them somehow. I don't know if like there was something like Cthulhu-like beast hidden in Orchid's chest that would like steal your soul. But
I assume they were just so overwhelmed by the tits. You do.
By the what?
By the tits.
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely. It was like, yeah. It's the only reason Metal Gear Solid soldiers... They just don't die upon seeing the magazine that you lay down. They're well-trained to resist it. What? I don't know. Dennis Dyack.
What? What are you doing?
Shadows of the Eternals.
I was trying to go for Killer Instinct. They're being booed off.
We're not going to Killer Instinct yet, Mark.
Okay. Because that's really all it was. Okay, it's done. Killer Instinct was booed off the stage at Evo. That's it. We're done.
I don't really follow Evo, so...
Was it the new one, which is called Killer Instinct, or the old one, which is called Killer Instinct?
It's the new one. They were doing an exhibition with one of the Double Helix guys and Markman, who works for Mad Catz.
Oddly enough, the old Killer Instinct, which is on the Xbox One, was well received.
So why was it? Was it booed off because it was Killer Instinct, or was it?
They decided they were going to do their exhibition on the last night, right before the Marvel vs. Capcom finals. So nobody gave a shit.
Hmm.
And also, you're putting it in a place where people already are really mad at Microsoft about this DRM thing, and even though they reversed that, they still don't really give a shit about the Xbox One. So, and the game itself just looked really boring. It was really basic Killer Instinct with lots and lots of particle effects everywhere.
I think the most amazing thing about the new Killer Instinct is how much it's just the old Killer Instinct.
Well, you can't build on perfection, Matt.
You can. That's how we keep having like new Street Fighters.
I hope it's running off the Game Boy version of Killer Instinct.
Yeah. It's just interesting, like how much bullshit the fighting game community and Evo will put up with. Like they will put up with like Injustice: Gods Among Us. They will put up with Mortal Kombat and whatever godforsaken thing like Namco is putting out there. But they recognize Killer Instinct is just this horrible, poisonous thing that must be destroyed.
Time Crisis X Tekken.
Yeah, that's cool. Also, Real Into is finally going to be in Street Fighter 4, so that's good.
I would point out, too, that Injustice Gods Among Us is incredibly fun because of the camp factor.
The what factor?
The camp factor.
Oh, camp factor.
Because, the super moves are all these big, drawn-out sequences that are just goofy as hell.
I'm okay with
that. I think you could make that argument for Killer Instinct, though, and at some point it's like, I don't... That's not what I play fighting games
but
for.
But it's just so
I guess with this, it's because it has these superheroes that we know and love.
Well,
and
the fighting game, the hardcore fighting game community, like the Evo guys, they're not going to play it for the camp factor. It's like these people are the ones that sucked up everything interesting out of Smash Brothers. So they're not going to do anything interesting with Mortal Kombat or Injustice.
The same people that snaked in Mario Kart.
No, they probably.
I don't think those are the same people.
It's the same people.
Okay.
So are we just going to point out that even though probably for entirely different reasons, we all now agree with Nintendo that Smash Brothers has no place at Evo?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like Nintendo did that to because they weren't getting paid. I think they did that to protect Smash. Because my God, high level Smash is the worst thing in the world.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I have no interest in high level Smash Brothers.
I think they didn't want Smash associated with that event, which to some extent you can kind of understand.
After all the bad juju that the FGC has gotten, I don't blame them.
I don't like the precedent though of just like you can ask people to stop streaming something for no apparent reason. That's why I was against that decision.
Well, yeah, it's a bad decision because it's a big corporate behemoth just throwing their fist down at a tiny, tiny little independent people.
Right, of course, Killer Instinct was the onstage E3 demo that was a little rapey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a little rapey. There was a reference to it'll be over with soon.
They went back and they said that wasn't actually scripted. It was just two people bantering.
That's worse.
It's a lie, certainly, because no two people talk like that ever.
That sounded super scripted.
Yeah, there is no freestyle going on at an E3 ever. If you ever go off script, you will be shot at the moment you go into the back.
Sniper sitting up in the balcony.
Yeah,
Jack Tretton apparently just makes up half of what he says.
Good for Jack Tretton.
They weren't aware of the DRM thing before Jack went out there and just started talking. So, by the way, we're not going to have DRM.
Well, apparently he ad-libbed a lot of that speech.
Also, games are free now.
All games are free.
Santa Claus is real.
With one low investment for the PlayStation 4 of $14,000, you can have a lifetime supply of video games.
Jack, stop. We can't back this up. Jack, stop.
I said it.
I mean, that's basically what they did with PSN Plus. Maybe that was just a Jack Tretton, drunken announcement that they decided to actually make good on.
Also, we're bringing back Turbo Teen. PSN exclusive video.
Well, maybe the whole charge for online games with that wasn't part of it until Jack just threw that in there to see what would happen. So, also, we're gonna charge for games. You guys are cool with that? Yeah, all right, yeah. Money.
You Turbo guys Teen, didn't
but
notice
he turned
that?
Into a PS4. Yeah. Turbo Teen turns into a PS4. Cross marketing event of the generation.
Don't ask where his body parts are at.
It just sits there. Doesn't do anything.
Hey guys, do you want to stream? Use me. Guys, I keep waiting for I want some amazing launch game to be announced because at the moment I'm just sitting there on the Amazon PS4 page maybe I'll get Watch Dogs, I guess?
Or you can get it for the PC.
Pack in.
I don't know, I'm reasonably sure that a Watch Dog PS4 version will probably be better than a PS or a PC version I can run right now.
It'll be more reliable.
Oh right, you were having some issues.
Yeah, still do, actually. They're still not resolved.
Was it Tomb Raider?
Yeah, Tomb Raider autosaves frequently, and the crashes are random.
Oh, good.
So, there's at least a 50-50 shot that I can just reload the last save and play through whatever crashed before.
That's no good.
Well, I can get through the game.
Yeah.
But it's stupid.
Can you manually save, or is it only autosaves?
Just autosaves. Auto saves and saves at campfires.
Okay.
But the auto saves are way more frequent.
Yeah. That's not good.
Campfires usually only occur between areas.
So speaking of weird games breaking things, so in Animal Crossing, New Leaf, all of my villagers catchphrases have switched around. It's really weird. So like one guy asked me to give him a new catchphrase, so I just made him say dongs. And then now another villager is saying that, and he's saying something else like that a duck says. I don't know what happened. I thought it was like some weird thing that, you know, but I don't know.
Social networking, man.
Maybe it just broke, right? They swap them around.
No, they did this in other Animal Crossing games. Like the animals will talk to each other and get the catchphrases from each other.
Okay. Yeah.
So like if you know two of them are friends, they might pick up the catchphrases from each other, but
okay.
The ones they don't like won't ever pick it up.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I didn't know if it was just a broken thing or if it was something that meant to happen, because it seemed like it was all at once. Like it wasn't two people saying dongs at once. It was just one, and then the other one was saying something else.
That would be too much dongs.
It would be many dongs.
It would be critical mass of dongs.
And maybe you just forgot which one you gave it to.
No, I remember who I gave it to, because
gave the dongs to.
I gave the dongs to Chester, who's like I think he's a panda bear, or he's some sort of little bear, and then he's now saying duckling, which is like what the duck says. Bears don't say duckling.
Oh yeah, sometimes they swap.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not broken then. But Tomb Raider on the PC for Matt, unfortunately, is.
Yep.
Yep.
So I did out there is a program called Xbox 360 Controller Emulator, and that was a lifesaver, because Tomb Raider does not support any controller aside from the Xbox 360 controller.
I'm more disturbed that you would use something other than the 360 controller, good sir.
I don't have a wired 360 controller. I only have a wireless one.
Oh, okay. You should get a wired one. They're pretty useful.
Yeah. I had a wired PS3 controller already, so I figured why spend more money.
So are you running any other DLLs or like any sort of software for your PS3 controller, or just this Xbox?
No, you plug it in and Microsoft or Windows recognizes it pretty much instantly as a standard controller.
Okay.
And then this other program will remap everything so it looks like an Xbox 360 controller.
I'm going to check. I've been meaning to grab an Xbox 360 controller just because I know it does have like just built-in functionality when you plug it into a computer.
You know what's super crazy? Sonic Racing Transformed like supports anything. You can plug a Wiimote in with your Bluetooth and it would somehow recognize it.
How is that game?
It's pretty good. Like, I don't like the power sliding at all, because it feels like you're either power sliding or you're not.
Yeah, it's pretty much how arcade power sliding is.
I'm so used to Mario Kart power sliding that it feels brainless.
Because that's how you and Mike grabbed that, I think. And
yeah.
Probably Blaze.
I bought a 4-pack and
I've been thinking about that.
It's pretty. You should have gotten it on sale a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but then I didn't. I haven't bought too much on this Steam sale.
I bought way too much. I think I'm over $50 now, which means I probably should stop.
Wait, that's like 20 games though, right?
Yes, that's a lot of games.
And that's only six cards, so you can keep going because you.
I only need one more card for the badge.
Which card?
BioShock Infinite.
I have an extra Infinite.
Awesome.
What do you have? To me.
I have. An extra.
This is Gabe Newell's Kerbals. America. This is Gabe Newell's America.
I need Kerbal. Let's do this.
Awesome.
Son of a bitch. This is how it's supposed to work. It's making people talk. I don't have.
Well, what's making people do is like leave like games on idle. Like,
I saw Imran mention that, and I didn't know that was a thing. Like, that's how it does, which is really bad. I think. Like, that's
why I love Square Enix games, because they all start with like a splash screen that you can just like ignore.
Oh my god! What kills me is that, like, you know, TF2 hat drops used to be from like, you know, there were people who were idling in servers and stuff. I don't know if this still is. And then
I went to an idle server once. It was just people like incubating in tubes.
Yeah, pretty much. And then getting free hats and like they tried to put a stop to that. Like they put out a badge saying like, if you never join an idle server, you get this halo around your head.
And they made it so you have to actually like die to get a drop.
And then now that's exactly what this freaking card system is. At least
I mean, eventually they're gonna make it so you have to buy things to get cards.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be when everything collapses. Or...
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to...
I've been pitching this as like a Fallout 3 scenario. Like, you know how in Fallout 3 bottle caps are money?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that eventually everything, this whole economy is going to collapse.
Stuff with Steam cards?
Yeah. I'm going to have like all the stockpile of Steam cards that I'll just sell off.
Oh my god.
And they're going to be games you can't buy unless you have like enough badges. So you got to keep your badge level.
Think about this. All this badge for the summer sale, You can only get it by getting the summer sale cards, and you can only get the summer sales cards during the summer sale. So if you have a bunch of extras of these cards, they're going to be worth a lot. Yeah. Oh my God, Mark invited me to trade.
I guess we're doing this now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just can't drag like the card into his chat thingy. I have to actually. This is weird and like regressive.
All right. Yeah. Well, so I know both Imran and I have been playing Surgeon Simulator 2013. That's a cool game.
Yep.
I've
gotten pretty proficient at it. I got an A on the heart transplant. I got an A on the brain transplant. And I have a C on the liver transplant right now. So I have a hard time getting those intestines out of the way.
So having only like watched like the Burger Pal guys and stuff like supposedly play this thing, how do you do anything in this stupid game?
Because it seems badly.
It's pretty easy once you figure it out, and then it's just
I got my hand stuck through a table.
I saw that. That was pretty good. But then it's just wrangling the physics. I mean, if you just put your hand on your keyboard, Mark, put your pinky on A, and then the rest of your fingers on W E R.
Why would I do that?
Here's where this game falls apart for me, because my keyboard can't press that many keys at once.
Oh no.
So it's hard to like grab things. So I'm doing basically the horns when I'm grabbing things.
I usually just grab with just my you know, thumb and forefinger when I'm like picking up a scalpel or whatever. Or discs. No, but that's a fun game. I saw our friend the internet's Mike talk about I don't know, he mentioned it and it made me think of doing Groovemass style dueling streams of like two people racing to complete surgery in Surgeon Simulator 2013 in the fastest time. And that could be pretty bonkers and fun. So maybe Imran and I'll set up something like that some night.
The things we actually should probably do like an addendum to the Trine Let's Play.
Yeah.
Because they have DLC now.
In the form of Surgeon Simulator?
Sure. I mean, that's basically the wizard magic from that game.
You're right. Yeah.
Hey, they should do Trine DLC for that game.
They should absolutely do a Trine. Because in Surgeon Simulator, they did a TF2 kind of tie-in level where you have to give the heavy an uber heart, a mega heart. It's just like a big old baboon heart, and it's pretty cool. So you have like the heavy model there, and you're the medic. It's pretty cool. There's a heal gun. But other than that, I picked up Surgeon Simulator 2013. I picked up Starseed Pilgrim. Which I loaded up and I don't know. Art? It throws me off a little. What else did I get? I can't even remember.
I got lots of things and I don't know if there's a list somewhere that shows me what I bought during the sale.
There totally is. Like it's in your badge
activity feed. Yeah. God, what else did I buy? Oh, I bought Sleepy Dogs.
That's good. Sleepy Dogs is a good game.
Yep. Have you not played Sleepy Dogs yet?
I have not played Sleepy Dogs, no.
You're in for a treat. That's the best open world game. Okay, so there's two different open world games, right? There's like the city-based stuff, and then there's stuff like Just Cause.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good as like Just Cause or like Mercenaries 2, but it's the best of the city-based ones.
Oh, I picked up System Shock 2 because that was one of the flash sales for like $2.50.
I got that as well.
Yeah. I got
Reus like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, cool.
Reus?
I also bought Cart Life.
Oh, I want to try that, but I'm literally afraid that it's just going to be so depressing. I'll just never want to touch it.
And that's all I've gotten. I've gotten Sleepy Dogs, Cart Life, Surgeon Simulator, and Starseed Pilgrim. And System Shock, which is probably, I think, comes out to like under $10.
I sat there for a good 10 minutes thinking, should I buy Fez? Because maybe I kind of want to play it, but also Phil Fish is a dick.
You should play it because you can't hold a game accountable by the person who made it.
I totally can.
Unless it's Orson Scott Card, you shouldn't buy those games.
And what about Dennis
Would you Dyer? Buy Shadows of the Eternals?
Yeah, I was about to say, would you buy Shadow of the Eternals?
It depends. I might if it's entertaining enough.
Okay, so we've talked about Shadow of the Eternals, which is the Eternal Darkness, sequel or whatever. By Precursor Games, Dennis Dyack, whatever. And they launched a Kickstarter and then like another, you know, crowdfunding thing on their own site. And then they kind of canceled them both. I don't know if they refunded the stuff from their own site.
Well, they didn't have to refund the one that wasn't Kickstarter because they got the money.
The one on their own site. Yeah.
Now the one the Kickstarter that they aborted that money, they never got any of that.
Yeah, no, they didn't get that, obviously. But no, so they're relaunching the Kickstarter. They're relaunching on Kickstarter on July 25th.
Have they said what their goal is for the new Kickstarter?
And no, they haven't. I mean, it's gonna have to be astronomically lower.
Like order of magnitude, like
it's gonna be like you could do that to the language, quit.
What?
Astronomically lower?
Why not? Can
I do that?
Well, it's acceptable for now.
Okay.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah, we'll let you go.
What's the opposite of astronomical?
Like nanoscale, like getting smaller. Terrestrial.
Microscopically
smaller? It's going to have to be microscopically smaller.
Okay, there we go. Let's try this. Say an order of magnitude smaller.
Yes. It's going to, because, I mean, part of me hopes that they launch with the same goal. Like the, oh, it's going to work this time.
I think what their big plan is to just not make as big a deal about Denis Diok, because everything they've been saying has been like, oh, people, we said the wrong things, and people were holding Denis Diok against it.
Yeah.
Which
are we supposed to ignore the part where Denis Diok is still working for the company? God.
More importantly, do they expect us to forget that fact?
Yeah.
I was going to support Shadows of the Eternals when it had Denis Diok on it, but not now.
I wonder if like they're just going to like rename the company and rename the game entirely. And say, oh, this is actually for a different GameCube.
Honestly, I think that would be the best bet because, I mean, Denis Diok's not even the biggest strike against that right now.
Is it the pedophile that used to work for the company? Is that the biggest
strike? Oh, yeah. That would be the biggest strike.
Yeah, there's that, yeah.
Like, even if they cut all ties, that's really skeevy and new.
Yeah.
They're apparently starting a MS Paint contest today to do something with the Shadows of the Eternals. Anyways, so
make our game for us.
So I think literally this will become an eternal thing, and like the next 10
holy
years
shit.
The next isn't that terrible, that forum? It's got like 8 pop-ups.
I know, I'm still clicking really through bad. These
But so I think what we're gonna see is from Precursor Games is the next 10 years they're just gonna continually launch their Kickstarter at the same goal and failing it every time.
You guys ready for this yet?
All right, guys. What about now?
They should say that we're going to do this at a much smaller scale. Let's say $800,000.
Like, we're going to use RPG Maker this time. We got a copy of the Steam sale.
Honestly, why not? Why the fuck not use RPG Maker? To the Moon is a fantastic story.
Yeah.
If they can't make that same kind of story, it's their fault.
Can you do sanity effects in RPG Maker?
Probably. I'm not sure I believe like the David Cage polygons give you more emotions bullshit.
Oh god. Yeah, there's that thing.
Like I'm sure they do for the games David Cage makes, but you could make a better game than Heavy Rain and tells a better story using 999's engine.
So I wonder if they're gonna maybe go some sort of like episodic way.
It is episodic.
Shadow of the Eternals?
Yes, every episode costs $1 million.
Oh.
And then they're just going to keep making games maybe until they stop giving them money.
I think the episodes are going to have episodes.
Double Fine approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's break.
Yep. Break, break,
break.
Let's talk about Super Mario Sunshine.
Are we back?
We're back.
Hey, guys.
And we're going to talk about Super Mario Sunshine.
So this was the first Mario game. Mario 64 experimented with this a little bit, but it was the first Mario game with cutscenes and voice acting, which Mario 64 had that intro, but this had like full-on movie like Mario.avi play bullshit. Which, and we can all agree this was a terrible, terrible idea glad they never do again.
Okay. The pacing is so bad.
Let me ask you something, because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the whole Nintendo site at this point. Like, when you guys as Nintendo fans, when you were like, saw this happen, did you accept this as being like horrible, or like, is it okay, Nintendo is just trying something a little bit new and they get past this? Because
within the context of the generation, it felt like Nintendo was catching up.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, everybody is doing this sort of thing now. Like, cinematic games is the thing. It's not about, wasn't about gameplay then, it was about what movie files could you put in that looked awesome. And Mario Sunshine was catching up to that, I guess, but
yeah.
God damn, like, the story was awful, the voice acting, the
Mario
the actual, like, directing and composition.
Like, was this the start of, like, Mario's stories taking too damn long? Because I remember this also being, like, the issue with the Paper Mario games.
Well, Paper Mario games, that's, like, kind of the thing. That's, like, when you go into that game, it's for the stories taking way too damn long.
Okay.
This was the start and end of the Mario platformers having a story. Well, after this, that, it became kind of nothing.
This was... I'm trying to... Like, what would you call Flood? Would you call Flood a suit?
It's an accessory?
It's an accessory, although it's permanent. It's not, it's like you need it. It's not like, you know, a Tanuki suit or whatever. That's like a bonus that you can have for a little bit of while.
I got a word for it.
Gimmick?
Yes, thank you. You know me too well.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it switched up Mario's platforming abilities, opened up some other options and stuff.
You know, I think... I probably would accept it better if, like, it wasn't also trying to be a Mario game. Like, if they just tried to, like, let it be its own thing with the Flood stuff, like, it probably been better.
Flood Racer 64.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like the way the Flood mechanics worked. I just hated Flood. The thing would never shut up.
Oh. That's true. That is true.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you are the development team tasked with making a sequel to what is probably one of the most praised and revolutionary video games of all time, you're kind of fucked no matter what you do.
You can't. And so the only thing you really can do is just, like, scrap that whole thing and try something completely different.
Take a step to the left, because that's, I mean, if you're you try to iterate on
64, that, you're never going to live up to 64. So, yeah.
Which, I mean, there's a decent argument that, like, gameplay-wise, 64 has been beaten to death, but, like, in terms of impact, they've never hit that again.
Even with the Galaxy games?
I mean, Galaxy games are amazing, incredible, but they didn't revolutionize the genre. Yeah. Well, they didn't revolutionize 3D space.
Right. And and that will never happen again. Like, you're never going to have that threshold again.
Yeah, like, keep in mind how much needed to be invented for Mario 64 to work. Yeah. Like, none of the stuff on PlayStation or Saturn at the time had analog controls, period. Yeah. And then you get to this game, and it's the first game I can think of, first 3D platformer, where you push your joystick in a direction and the character goes in that direction instead of a tank control.
Tank controls.
I'm trying to remember how Jumping Flash did that, but it was like...
It was, you know, Jumping Flash was tank.
Oh, yeah. It was tank? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. First person tank.
That was a good game, mind you.
It was.
I'd like Jumping Flash, but it's very primitive compared to what came after it.
Oh, it's so
and like cool. I think Crash was just behind the back, so you didn't really have to worry about camera angles.
Yeah.
Crash was an enormous amount of bullshit. It was a 2D platformer with really bad perspective.
Yeah,
I think 2 and 3. Maybe it was just 3 that actually went full 3D.
I don't know. I stopped playing after the first one because I realized that they were just trying to make something happen that would never ever occur. Of course, we're talking about Mario 64 now. So it's like soon as Mario 64 came out, like the other two companies realized, oh shit, we have to have something on this level, this kind of revolutionary 3D space thing, and that's how you wind up with Knights. And that's how
Knights came out relatively quickly after that, but it probably was a reaction to like, oh shit, Mario 64 has been showing off.
Yeah.
Like at those shows, because N64 was a good 2 years at press conferences and whatnot.
I mean, looking at and playing it now, it came out in 2000. No,
what,
yeah, 2002. No,
Sunshine.
Sunshine
was 2002. I mean, playing it now, you know, I look at like the cutscenes and stuff and like the camera, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a little wonky. But at the time, when I played it the first time, I don't think there was anything I didn't like about it. I mean, I don't think there was anything that I was like, oh, this is just, no, I don't want to play this anymore.
One thing about Mario 64, or Mario Sunshine, rather, is that it did what 64 didn't do, and we're talking about it took the side to the left, but wasn't just about Flood. It tried to make the game more of a platformer than Mario 64 was.
Yeah.
Mario 64 was, in a lot of ways, an action-adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, while, again, a revolutionary and amazing, was not the game that everyone liked. There's not the series of Mario.
Well, and I missed out on Mario 64 at the time. My first experience with Mario 64 was when I got it for my DS Lite, when I got that, whenever that was. And it didn't click with me very well.
Well, I mean, part of it is that context of being 11 years old and sitting in a Target and like, holy shit, you can move with the analog stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are a couple of things with Mario 64 that seemed amazing at the time. Like, part of it was the analog, and part of it was... The N64 could do anti-aliasing around the edges and also do filtered textures for the first time. So it looked fundamentally different from a PlayStation game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 3D was always ugly. Like there was
But
you didn't mind looking at Mario 64. Like it was the best showcase you could ask for that system.
Well, and that's one of the things that Mario Sunshine lost is the grand vistas.
Mm. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing as far as having like, because one of the things that I did really like about Mario Sunshine and the Galaxy games is that they're very thematic.
Yeah.
Like Mario Sunshine is like, yeah, you're in this, you know, beach vacation area. And like, that's what it was.
Whereas, that inherently feels less, you know, grand.
Right. Less exactly. Epic, yeah. Because... But I'm okay with these kind of finer details of that. But then like Mario 64 was just, you know, okay, you're in this bomb castle and now you're in a snow land and now you're here and there. Which I appreciate the variety, but I think I would appreciate the variety more as a kid, like when I want to see different things. And now with Super Mario Sunshine, I'm like, oh, this is neat. This is, you know, thematic. You got all this, you got that. It all kind of ties together, and Mario's the missing piece.
Yeah. I mean, some of those levels were just completely fucking brilliant, too. Like the theme park level was really smart and really well designed. But it just, you know, it's one in, like, I think 8 or 9 levels there are in the game.
It's a really good and well-designed game. Most of the time,
the parts that the inside the hotel is
that was awful.
Yeah, that feels like a beta that they just didn't finish.
And blooper racing, where I stopped this playthrough after I lost 6 lives without it ever telling you that you lost a life. Like if you run out of time or if you don't meet the time, they don't.
Yeah.
First of all, they don't tell you what time you're supposed to meet.
Yeah.
And then if you don't hit that time, you lose a life. It's like that's kind of severe.
Yeah.
Mario Sunshine went a little insane with the collectathon stuff.
Yes.
Like that was something that we were just getting over at that time because for some reason we put up with it in the N64 era. Like, I guess because everything was new in 3D and the idea of exploring 4 things.
Well, you gotta think like the 64 games were like kind of short, so they kind of had to like shove a bunch of collectible stuff inside a small game.
I mean, that's what I realized.
Things that wouldn't take up extra memory. Just be that's like, oh, realized, this thing is here. That's it.
That's when I realized I hated Rare was when I was playing Donkey Kong Country. I was like, fuck this. I can't look for any more things.
Donkey Kong Country or Donkey Kong
64? Oh, Donkey Kong 64.
Also, fuck Donkey Kong Country. Also, fuck that. Yeah, let's go.
Next game, Donkey Kong Country.
Damn it!
Well, and I think one of the things I really appreciate about Super Mario Sunshine is how playful it felt. As opposed to at least what I played of Mario 64, which is like straightforward. All right, you got these objectives. You did have kind of the open world, but it was pretty serious business. Like, but with Mario Sunshine, like, you know, they had Delfino Plaza, like, you know, the kind of the hub world, I guess, if you will.
They nailed the vacation feel of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. Is there a reason Mario is like whacked out on weed, like in the beginning on the plane where he's just sitting there? Is he just like can't control himself when he's like near Princess Peach?
I think he's airsick.
Oh, because he just has like the hearts in his eyes, and I thought like there's something weird going on with him and Peach right now, where he can't deal with it.
He has the hearts in his eyes because he fell asleep on the plane and he's dreaming about lasagna and meatballs.
Yeah, didn't you get that, Mark?
No, was there really like
there was a thought bubble with like pasta in it?
Oh, of course, because he's Italian. How silly of me.
Well, he does that in Mario 64. If you let him idle for two months, he falls asleep, and then while he's sleeping, he talks in his sleep about meatballs and spaghetti.
So is Garfield?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So this is like the first 3D Mario I've played, basically. And I didn't play a lot of it because I really hated Flood and like the aiming of Flood, because Flood didn't seem like it wanted to go anywhere near where I wanted to go.
Yeah, well,
it's not really something you aim necessarily.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Mm-hmm. Were you playing with analog triggers?
I was playing with analog triggers, yeah.
Because that's kind of required.
Right, yeah. That game, like, it took every part of the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
It is the Buffalo of Nintendo.
Yeah, it could have been, like, because, like, you have to do the little clicky thing with like the GameCube controller, I guess, like I just like mash down to like get him to aim it.
Well, you mash down if you want to stand in place to aim, but if you need to get through an area, you hold it halfway so that you can run and shoot.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can like clear a path through a field.
Yeah, I eventually figured that, because when I first set up the 360 controller, I didn't because I'm using Dolphin for it.
Yeah.
By the way, buy games, kids. Don't steal games. Anyway, but it turns out there's the clicky part of the trigger, then there's the squeezy part of the trigger, because Nintendo is insane with this sort of thing. So at first I didn't realize it was like strictly digital. But then I fixed that. But it's still like the aiming isn't good, and you have to aim to get into like the guy's mouth with Flood in order to kill like the thing that. You know what I'm saying.
The prana plant at the beginning.
The prana plant at the beginning. And there's a couple of those guys. And you have to aim very well to get in there. And, of course, there's little, like, bubble guys that are trying to kill you at the same time, which is kind of hectic and not fun.
So I'm just going to throw this out there, though.
Yeah?
I remember that exact thing being a massive problem the first time I played that game.
Yeah.
And eventually, when you get used to the feel for aiming it, it's not a problem. It's simple.
I imagine it was just like, because I can't imagine Nintendo would create something that controlled that poorly. I imagine like once you got used to it, it wasn't a huge deal. But
you've really got to get used to it, though.
Yeah.
There is one thing that like to note, that Mario Sunshine has the most diverse amount of Mario moves of any 3D Mario game.
Yeah.
Because they improved upon Mario 64's, and then they took a lot of those out for Galaxy.
Mm.
But like a lot, like in terms of traversal, he moves around probably better than in any other game.
Because there's the circle jump and like the up down jump and
then you long jumps, backflips, side flips. You can spray water, then dive into it.
Right.
I never.
You could hover. Yeah. I mean, it just
I zoomed around town that way.
Yeah.
Was it necessary to master all that stuff in order to finish the game, or is it just like cool stuff to do once you figure out?
If you're going to get like everything, like 100% of everything, you're going to need a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. There are and a lot also, of things. It also just linked together.
Yeah.
Jump combos.
If you could master triple jump into hover, you could skip like half of the levels.
If you could master side jump into a wall jump into hover backwards.
Side jumps,
Then that would just get you over pretty much any wall.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah,
I would love to see a game in the Super Mario Galaxy universe, no pun intended, whatever. But like as playful as Mario Sunshine was. Because there's a lot of playfulness that you could do kind of in space and in the galaxy. Because I know you have like the Mario face ship. But it would be neat to see kind of a hub world with different planets and rocketing around. And
I think they're just moving away from hub worlds completely.
Yeah, which I can understand.
Now, does Koopa show up in this game at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, so the Shadow Mario you see at the beginning?
Yeah.
That's Bowser Jr.
Okay. And let me say something. It took like half an hour to like finally kill that dude. Once he kidnaps Princess at Princess Peach. Of course, she's going to get kidnapped at some point. At first, like he just like runs off the stage. I wasn't paying attention. It's like, well, fuck, he's gone.
No, you have to chase him.
Yeah, you have to chase
free him.
Yeah, and like I would assume, like every other Mario thing, you hit something three times and it's done.
You just got to keep dumping water on him.
Yeah, I had hit like 30 freaking times, and I assume I was doing something wrong because he kept doing the exact same thing. Like he'd get to one of the little M markers and like remake it. It's like, am I supposed to like get rid of the M thing entirely, or should I hit him? Or it's like, this is not very intuitive. And of course, it's not something that would have happened nowadays. They would have explained every single thing now if they're trying to do that sequence.
So the big plot twist in the game is that at some point you confront Bowser Jr. and he explains that he kidnapped Princess Peach because he was told Princess Peach was his mother. And Peach's reaction to this was, I am? Like, not even like denial. It's like, huh.
I might be.
Really?
I might can't remember
that, but yeah, okay. I was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, and then at the end, you find out that he never really believed it all along. He's just trying to make his dad proud.
So was it ever cleared up if like he was his mom, or like was this like?
I think she'd remember.
No, Bowser said that he told her that, or told him that, just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
just to tell him something.
Yeah, and then Bowser Jr.'s like, "Yeah, I know. I was trying to catch Mario to make you proud."
That's kind of heartwarming.
It actually has a cute ending.
It does.
That's where the cinematic, believe it or not, unlike modern games, the intro cinematics suck, but the ending cinematic was kind of cute.
I just like the whole courthouse scene where it's just like his face, like in like this black field with like bars over it. And
so long.
And like you skip it. And if like you cut off like immediately afterwards, you go through that whole freaking thing again because it's 2001 and we didn't know any better.
The Delfino justice system is kind of fucked up. Like Mario gets convicted of a crime that he wasn't there for.
Clearly,
he had not landed on this island yet.
And then Peach and Toadsworth both stand up and scream objection, and without hearing what the objection is, overruled. It's like, wait, no, that's not how objections work. What are you doing?
I know
you wouldn't have it like he. That's as bad a trial as if you were in Florida.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just like I think Peach kind of like fuck him over because she's like a princess and she has an airplane and they can leave these horrible primitive islanders anytime they want because they have an airplane. So why is she not doing her like the guy who keeps rescuing her a solid and just, hey, get on our plane and let's get out of here. You can keep the flood crap if you want.
But because they go all Scooby-Doo and they have to solve this mystery, guys.
That's stupid. He's being held ransom. These people clearly deserve the fate that has befallen them. Go about on your vacation. Out. I'm pretty sure the Mushroom King can take the Delfino like embassy.
The funny thing is that there was no other reason for them to steal all of the shine sprites. Like, they weren't going to do anything with them, as far as I know. It was just a ploy to get Peach.
Yeah.
Which seems roundabout and needlessly failure-prone.
So that's one of the things that actually bothers me about Mario Sunshine, is that Mario 64, a lot of the collectathon shit you did wasn't really collectathon stuff. Like, there was 100 coins, and there were the 8 red coins, but those are more of a gray area. But for the most part, they were just, you did this thing, here's something to mark your objective, or to mark the fact that you accomplished this.
And there were all Mario Sunshine. There were all the other castle stars, but I mean, most of there's a real practical reason why all that stuff is there. It's so that if you're stuck in one of the levels, you have another way to get stars so that you can still progress through the game.
Yeah.
And they also
and Mario Sunshine felt like a little too like collectathon-y at some point.
Right. Well, they sometimes act as a guide to, you know, point you. Okay, you follow these coins, and this is how you're going to get from here to there.
Now, was this one of Miyamoto's games, or like a different team do this?
I think this is the first big Mario game, certainly, that he didn't directly direct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he did 64, but then he was hands off for Sunshine. Then Koizumi's team took over for Galaxy.
I wonder what team did do Sunshine.
I think it was still Koizumi's team, but it wasn't the whole team.
Yeah. And it's a well put together game. It just has a lot of awkward issues.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say that like
Uber Racing.
I like the reference early on in the game when you first meet Flood, that when he's like looking at Mario and trying to ascertain who he is, like the little images are of all the games sprites before. Because that's just what's on record for him.
So we had two questions to the Nitrobeard, or two little things to the Nitrobeard Twitter account. I just asked if people had anything to say or questions. Jeremy actually asked, why do we think people didn't like this game?
See, that's that. So I kind of joked that it was all the blooper racing.
Yeah.
Because that's still mad about that. But I don't think people really dislike this game as much as its reputation suggests.
I think the big problem is it followed Mario 64.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
If I can say like something as like someone who doesn't play a lot of Nintendo stuff or Mario stuff and mainly knows everything I know from Mario through osmosis, it was really weird to like start off a Mario game and it's surrounded by NPCs that I was expected to talk to instead of going out and doing jumping on things.
Yeah. Mario Sunshine is the weirdest example of like Nintendo following trends when they previously never did.
Yeah,
because
they fell into a lot of holes in this one.
Yeah. I'm not sure, I forget which Sonic 3D game that this one was. The Sonic 2 that had all the like townsperson stuff.
Sonic Adventure 1 had the first city the first time.
I don't know if this is like before or after that game, but like it seemed a lot like this. Where it's like, at what point do I get to the point where like I'm playing a Mario game or a Sonic game? Why am I in this weird pseudo RPG that feels like a bunch of time filler?
Well, that's a good jumping off point to like the best part of Mario Sunshine,
mm-hmm.
the floodless levels.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, they'll take flood away from you, and those levels are really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, there's one where a village is on fire, and you have to get to it, but since you can't reach it, since you don't have flood, you basically have to climb underneath it and along the back of a tree to get up
there. It was kind of an interesting example of, we've talked about kind of a reverse Metroid game, where they, you know, and other games have done this, but, you know, they take something away, and you have to suddenly think differently.
Right. Which I think the floodless levels were definitely like the inspiration for what eventually became Mario Galaxy, because they basically followed exactly in kind. But it's one of those things where if you didn't have mastery of Mario by then, they were going to have a really tough time getting through those levels.
Yeah.
Those were probably the highlight of the game.
Yeah, those are the ones where like you need to be able to vary your jumps.
Yeah.
You need to know how to do a quick double jump or a triple jump, because the floor is sand that falls away underneath you.
You need to know how to stop a long jump in midair.
Yeah.
I remember one of those where, like, you basically had a small block to stand on, and you had to jump on another small block. So if you went just a little bit too far, you died.
Yeah. It's like some Kaizo Mario shit.
Oh, not quite that far, but still pretty difficult.
Yeah. And then from Pete Huzino, he said, "One thing that ruins the game for me, the mud boats that move in a way that defies all logic."
I don't even remember what the mud boats are.
Yeah, I don't either. So sorry, Pete.
So I was like, graphically, the game was pretty damn impressive, but at the same time, like, it did a bunch of really cool, nice looking things that it didn't blow me away. Like, when I think about that game graphically, I remember those big mirror platforms.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those look super nice.
And also kind of the, like a lot of like just flat layers of prism colors.
Yeah.
Which this seemed kind of weird. Yeah.
Oh man, does anyone else remember the Sandbird?
Yes.
That level was fucking sick. And I maybe tried 5 or 6 times before I was like, screw this, and just came back later.
So I'm looking at a mudboat video right now, and okay, yeah, that's pretty weird looking back on it now. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, it was fun to revisit that game.
Okay, fun Super Mario Sunshine note before we quit. That island that the hotel is on is shaped like a GameCube controller.
Oh my god.
Also, that boss you fight on that island is really creepy.
Yeah.
It's a big ghost stingray.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that part was. I was like, oh man, this is some environmental disaster shit.
Oh, that's the other thing. That's a reference to The Shining.
What?
I forget the exact wording, but there's a reference to a ghost stingray that's like almost exactly the same in The Shining.
That's pretty neat. Also interesting.
Yes.
Yep. Thanks, Mario.
Yeah. Thanks, Mario.
Do we know who's next?
I think Brian is.
Is it Matt Pierce? Yes, it comes back around to me. Ooh, I get to pick. I might have to stew it. I wasn't prepared, so I'll stew on it and make an announcement on the NetJBeard Twitter account. Sorry.
So at the end of The Shining book, when Danny and Wendy are running from the Flaming Hotel, Dick notices a ghostly manta shape floating away from the hotel. It looks paper thin like a shadow, and then broke into smaller forms and before turning into smoke and drifting away. So they made a reference to The Shining Hotel in a manta ghost in Mario Sunshine.
That's kind of crazy.
That's kind of cool.
Also, the Sandbird Colossus, looking at it now.
That level was fucked up.
Yeah.
That level was awesome.
All right, so pick something good, Brian.
All right, I will pick something good.
Yeah, I just looked at a video of the mud boats. That's right, also one of those things that I didn't have a problem with. I drove it like a motorboat, where you stand in the back, lock the trigger, and then aim.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about tonight?
I remember this. We played anything?
Nah, I mean, pretty much the Steam sale stuff.
Yeah.
Did you get anything on the Steam sale market yet?
Oh, I got like a ton of stuff off of Steam sale. I got Metro Last Light. That's the big one.
Did you get it for a cent?
What's that? No, I did not get it for a cent because I'm not a bloody thief like some people who are trying to steal from.
Okay, so. So I will say this. I know earlier before the show, your mom was saying like Monaco didn't hit the flash sales and Gunpoint didn't either, which sucks because more people should play that. But it should be pointed out that those games are deserving of more of your money. So you should still buy those games.
Well, I'm going to wait for them to be on sale, because if I can get it cheaper, then why not?
Exactly.
Well, there's a ton of Steam sale left. I mean, they could still hit.
Yeah, you're not, you know.
I think if they put it up for a vote, they're going to put it for regular sale eventually. Probably. It's just not, like, you don't have a good...
Like, I bought Surgeon Simulator for, you know, like, $5, and then the next day it was on sale for, like, $3.25.
Oh, whatever. Man. Speaking of flash sales, the new one updates in 9 minutes. And also, Community Choice Deus Ex for $3.
Oh, we did get it.
Nitro Beard Game of the Year 2010?
$3.
2011.
2011, yeah.
Yeah, I think 2011, yeah, must have been. Yep, it'll probably be Deus Ex. I think I voted for Metro.
Well, you're trouble.
It even says 48%. Yeah, it is Deus Ex, never mind.
Well, Metro was up for 40% off, like, on regular sale, like, yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're done here.
All right, we're done.
Good night, everybody.
Video games. Good night. Bye, y'all.